Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Dalid. We are 13 lines from the top of daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael and the Sunan Batzar of Ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Rufu Shalema for Shlomi Ben Chayaleya, Chava Miriam Basmalka Freda, and Sarah Bat Batya. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Yisrael David Ben Doiv Beryl, Nosa Nota Ben Yaakov Meir, and Yecheskel ben Chaim Eliezer. So we're up to the last daf of Perek Shavuos HaDayonim. The Mishnah on the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Amid Aleph gave a unique example of Shavuos Moed B'Mitzvos. The case was when somebody loaned somebody money, there's a malva and a loiva. The loiva gave the malva a mashkin. The mashkin got lost, and there was a dispute between the malva and the loiva regarding what the value of the mashkin was. In the event that there's some tainas moida b'mitzas, the halacha is there'll be a chiyuv shvuah. The Mishnah gave an example where the loiva is being moida b'mitzas to the malva. The Mishnah gave an example where the malva is actually being moida b'mitzas to the loiva. The lumdus of it is one and the same. A moida b'mitzas is chayiv to swear. Shvua d'oraisa. Today's daf is going to focus not on the moida b'mitzas of the Mishnah, but on the mashkin of the Mishnah. And really, today's daf is a general daf from the standpoint that it talks about the concept of mashkin. So the concept of mashkin appears in different places in Shas. One of them is tucked away here in the end of Perek Shavuos HaDayonim, Shavuos daf Mem Dalet Amid Aleph. Now, the truth is that as it relates to a proper understanding of today's daf, we'd really have to get into an eon of understanding mashkin, which is beyond the scope of what we do. But super duper high level, just to be able to make it through the words of the daf and hopefully the cheshbin and a little bit of havana of the daf as well, we should just be mindful of the fact that there are two types of mashkin. So again, what's a mashkin? In English, collateral. But from a lumdus perspective, there are times where the malva would lend the loiva money and the loiva would give the malva collateral, where the purpose of the collateral would be that in the event that when it comes time to pay the loan, the loiva has no money, the malva will foreclose on the collateral, he'll foreclose on the mashkin, and like this, he's going to get payment. So the purpose of the mashkin, in the words of Rashi, is lepiroyon, meaning you're not making the payment now, it's all in the event of, but the point is, if the time comes and you couldn't make your payment, so the purpose of the mashkin would be for the malva to have something in his possession where ultimately he'll be able to get payment for his loan from. Sort of the secular way of looking at collateral. A bank lends somebody money, it's secured against a piece of property. In the event that the borrower does not pay his mortgage after a certain period of time, the bank may foreclose on that underlying piece of property. That's the standard conventional way of looking at a mashkin. But there was another way that sometimes the mashkin was structured. And in that instance, it functioned a little bit differently. And that is where the malva took a mashkin in exchange for his loan, but it was with the understanding that the malva was never going to foreclose on this mashkin. Why? Akasha Famaisa could be, the way it's gonna come up in our sugi is, because the mashkin is worth so much less than what the underlying loan is, that the whole thing is a chukka v'tlula. Somebody lends somebody $10,000 and he took a mashkin that's worth $100. So what? The purpose of the mashkin is to foreclose on the $100. So at the very least, when it comes time for me to have to collect, I only have to go after $9,900. $100 is already sitting in the keshina. That's not so reasonable. What then was the purpose of the mashkin? So in the words of Rashi, it was lezikaren ba'alma. It was for the malva to have some proof that he actually made the loan. What's the value of having that proof? It's very simple. It incentivizes the loiver to have to make payment, right? If you're driving around with your friend's car, people are going to say, isn't that Ruvain's car? Yeah. So why are you driving it? Well, I loaned him money. He's not making payment. Or if you walk into shul one day wearing his favorite tie, and someone's going to say, one second, isn't that Pliny Almoini's tie? Yeah. Why are you wearing it? Because I loaned him money and he's not paying back. So that's something that can get people into squeamish situations, and as a result, it's a ganz feine incentive to try to get the loan paid back. The bottom line is, in that instance, the mashkin wasn't really the peroi ba'alma. It was a little bit more the zikar ba'alma, and we're going to see in the course of the cheshbon of today's daf that it could be the ziva nafkaminas lahalacha with regards to if the mashkin is the peroi or if the mashkin is more the zikar. One other thing that's just worth being mindful before we start the Gemara, is that in our Moed B'Miktzas case of Mashkin, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, there was one thing that underpinned all the cases, the Reisha, the Seifa, right? Remember yesterday's Daf, we had the Seifa, the Reisha, but one thing underpins it, and that is that if somebody lends somebody money and he receives a Mashkin in return, the Malva is responsible for the Mashkin. That's for sure. What's the whole time of the Mishnah? How much was the Mashkin worth? The Leiva saying it was worth the whole value of the loan. As a result, I don't owe you anything. The Malva saying, no, it was only worth a shekel, right? It was worth half the value of a loan. Or the Leiva is telling the Malva it was worth even more than the loan. You owe me. And the Malva says, no, it was only worth the value of the loan. Or he's a Maida B'Miktzas. But one thing's for sure, that whatever the Mashkin was worth, right now, the Malva is on the hook for. So for sure, that amount will be reduced from the loan amount, or maybe it'll even be mechayev the malva to have to come out of pocket and write a check to the loiva. But it's presupposing a big hanacha, and that is that when somebody lends somebody something and now he has a mashkin, he's achroi, he's responsible for the mashkin. And the truth is, if we just think about it bal peh without even looking at the Gemara yet, is that so poshut? Mechatesi, the malva should be responsible for the mashkin. I think if you ask a man on the street, or a bachur in yeshiva, what do you think? Just intuitively, should the malva be responsible for something that happens to the mashkin or not? Or what should even it be totally? I think you would say that l'chayr the malva is a shomer on the mashkin. It's not his. Truth is, there is a Rabbi Yitzchak who holds bal chayv as kind of mashkin. We'll see Rabbi Yitzchak featured in today's daf. But the point is, at first glance, it's not his. So what is he? He's a shomer, right? He's a shomer pekaden. Okay, if I'm a shomer, and then the thing that I'm watching gets lost or stolen, like in the case of our Mishnah, that's what happened. Am I responsible? Depends. Are you a shomer chino? Or are you a shomer sachar? A shomer chino, we know, is potter from Geneva Vaveda, albeit the Shvuah, and a shomer sachar is chayiv. So really, it would almost sounds like the Mishnah holds, if the Malva is responsible for the Mashkin, the Mishnah seems to be saying maybe that he's a Shomer Sachar, who's Chayiv B'Gneva Vaveda. It's for that reason he has Achrayus over the Mashkin. If he has Achrayus over the Mashkin, so if something happens to the Mashkin, that is going to now be on the ledger of what the Malva owes the Loiva, hence the entire Mishnah. And the truth is, if you look at the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayis, the way the Rambam is Mefarish the Mishnah is exactly with those words. The Rambam couldn't wait for the Gemara. In fact, his Pirush HaMishnayis was not even written on the Gemara, it was only written on the Mishnayis. And right out of the gate, says the Rambam, you want to know why the Malva in this whole Mishnah is Achroi? It's because we look at the Malva as a Shomer. He's a Shomer HaPikot, Shomer HaMashkin, and he is a Shomer Socher. And because he's a Shomer Socher, it's for that reason he's Chai B'Gneva Vaveda, and that's really what underpins the Mishnah. Now, Kana Ben Shoyel, why is he a Shomer Socher? Who's paying him? Is somebody paying him? Nobody's paying him. So that and much, much more is all going to Be'ezras Hashem emerge from the Daf Gemara that we are about to learn. So the Gemara is going to begin, just to set it up, with a memra that the Amora Shmuel said. It's a Chiddush Nifla. And we're going to see that this Chiddush of Shmuel, Rav Nachman agreed with. In fact, he doubled down. Not just that, Nahardoi, the famous B'nai Nahardoi, whoever they were. But the Nahardois, they also agreed with the Chiddush of Shmuel and Rav Nachman. In fact, they didn't just double down, they quadrupled down. The Gemara is then going to take this memra of Shmuel, Rav Nachman, and Nahardoi, try to reconcile it with what at first glance seems to be at odds with our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to very, very easily do that. And then the Gemara is going to pivot. Lema de Shmuel Tanoihi. And the Gemara is going to make two attempts of trying to find Ergetz and Shas, a Machloikis Tanoim, that maybe is really Tolui in this Chiddush of Shmuel. So really, the Ikar of the Daf is going to focus on a Chiddush of Shmuel, which is the way the daf begins. Says the Gemara, 13 lines from the top of Mem Gimel Lamed Beis. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Hey man, if somebody lends 1,000 zuz to his friend, umashkin lekata de makla, and the loiva gave the malva mashkin, and the mashkin was a kata de makla. In English, it was the handle of a sickle, meaning it's a huge loan." And he gave him a very, very small mashkin. Avad kata de maglo, says Shmuel, you ready? If the malva loses the kata de maglo, avad alfazuzi. He loses the entire 1,000 zuz. That's a chiddush. So he loans him $1,000. He gets some tool from the loiva's toolbox in exchange for the loan. That's his mashkin. You lose the mashkin, you cannot collect anything. Meaning, Pasha, you would think, if he loses the mashkin, Hechtens will reduce the value of the mashkin from the outstanding loan, and that's what his loss is going to be. Shmuel is coming to be mechadish. That's not the halacha, but rather ovad kata de maglo, ovad alfazuzi. And pshat is because Shmuel holds that if you receive a mashkin, your obligation is to return the mashkin, and if you don't return the mashkin, you don't live up to your end of the deal. The labor doesn't have to give you the $1,000. He doesn't have to live up to his end of the deal. And even though the two ends from a monetary perspective are not equitable, it doesn't matter. The labor has his responsibility, the malva has his responsibility. And the deal and the terms and conditions of this loan state that in the event that the malva keeps his end of the deal, the labor has to keep his. If not, not. But then Shmuel said, Aval tarti katoti. What would be if the mashkin was not one kata de malva, but it was two kata de malva? It's loy. Then the halacha is not. What does not mean? So Rashi says, then the halacha is, we don't say that each one of these kata de malva represent half the loan, so that in the event that the malva didn't have one of them to return to the loiva, he forfeits half the loan. The way we look at it is that the two kata de maglas together make up the entirety of the mashkin. We don't prorate one kata de magla for 500 zuz and the other kata de magla for 500 zuz. So here's the point. So if he doesn't return any of the kata de maglas, then the halacha is going to be in place. You didn't return any part of the mashkin, you're going to forfeit the loan. If, however, he would return one of them, being that at the very least he returned miktsas mashkin, even though he didn't return the whole mashkin, so you would say, what do you mean? Based on the terms and conditions of the loan, he didn't fulfill his loan. That's only true if you don't give any part of it. But if you give part of it, then you actually don't forfeit anything. Now, we are going to reduce from the outstanding loan amount the value of the one kata de magla that he's not returning. But the point is that the only time we say that the loiva does not have to make payment at all and that the malva forfeits the loan is if he doesn't return any chelik of the mashkin. If he returns miktsas mashkin, then he forfeits 0% of the loan. What we do is we reduce from the loan amount the value of the miktsas of the mashkin that he's not returning. Two kata de maglas are viewed as one cheftza of mashkin. Thus, if he returns half of it, he at the very least returned miktsas mashkin. If there was only one kata de magla, so then if you don't return it, you didn't return anything. It's like in the case of two kata de maglas, where again you didn't return anything. In that case, the halach is that the malva is going to forfeit the loan. Rav Nachman, number Rav Nachman said, Shmuel, I agree with everything that you said, but I hold even more. Afilu tarti katati. Even if there were two kata de maglas, avat chada. If one of them gets lost, avat chada chamish meya. He's going to forfeit 500 zuz, half the loan. Avad idach, if he lost the other half, avad kule, he is going to forfeit everything. Meaning Rav Nachman said, I agree with Shmuel's ikr chiddush, but I also hold that in the event that they're kata de maglas, this sidebar point that Shmuel made, Rav Nachman says, I disagree with that. I owe two kata de maglas, the way we look at them is two independent mashkins, and we prorate them. One represents half the loan, the other represents the other half of the loan, and as a result, if one of them gets lost, half the loan gets forfeited. But then Rav Nachman said, aval kata v'naskula, but what would be if the mashkin was a kata de maglos, again, the handle of some sickle, and also a naska. So a naska is of naska de rababa fame, right? So this is like some silver bar or something along those lines. Loi, then Rav Nachman said, this halacha is not going to be true. What does it mean that this halacha is not going to be true? What it means is that the way we look at the Naska is not going to be the same way that we look at the Kata de Magla. Meaning, granted, says Rav Nachman, as it relates to the Kata de Magla, I agree that even in this case, it's going to be representative of the loan. And as a result, if he can't replace that, meaning he doesn't have it, he's going to forfeit the loan. But it's only true for the Kata de Magla, it's not true for the Naska. Even though the Naska is a Mashkin, just like the Kata de Magla is a Mashkin, but if he loses the Naska, the Halacha is going to be different. And the reason is, says Rashi, the Kivan de Midi de Chazi de Perayinu, being that the Naska is actually something that could be viewed as Perayin, like Kable Ale Elabet Meshavya. We say that when the Malva took it, he took it as some sort of avenue where maybe he's going to tap into a later for payment, and as a result, it's not going to be included in this halacha. In other words, Rav Nachman is saying a chiddush, and it's a chiddush that's moving based on what we mentioned in the introduction, that there's two types of mashkins. There's a mashkin that's lepirayin, and then there's the mashkin that's lezikaron. The kata de maglo is lezikaron. Nobody expects to get payment on a loan that's $1,000 from the handle of a sickle, which is worth a dollar and a quarter, right? Nobody has that intention. So what was the purpose then of that mashkin? I want to walk around with your kata de maglo. So like this, the world will know that you owe me money. All it is lezikaron ba'alma. So how old's Rav Nachman? By such a mashkin, we say this chiddush, that if I can't return the mashkin, the terms and conditions of the loan are, you're not going to have to pay the loan. A naska, however, is something that people used to make payments with, right? That is a real shavah kesef. So if I lend you money, you give me a naska, the understanding is that the naska is not lezikaron. There's probably no zikaron even in the naska. The naska is lepirayon. If it's lepirayon, so then we don't view this mashkin in the same way. A mashkin that's lepirayon, we view as like some sort of a prepayment. Now, it's not a prepayment. I'm not allowed to tap into it right now until the loan is due. But the point is, it's like a deposit. It's an initial payment, or maybe even more than that, right? It could be a significant value where I'm going to take payment for. But being that it's being given lepirayon, so the way we shots up its chashivos in this transaction is based on how much it's worth. And if it gets lost, so all we're going to do is we're going to reduce that dollar amount from the outstanding loan, but I'm not going to owe you anything more than that, meaning we're not going to say that I'm going to forfeit the loan. So again, Rav Nachman holds like Shmuel. In fact, he even holds more like Shmuel than Shmuel holds like Shmuel. Right? He said it not only by one kata de magla, he said it even by two kata de maglas. All Rav Nachman is being mechadish is that this is only true by a kata. It's true by a mashkin that's lezikaron. But as it relates to a naska, a mashka that's lepiroyin, then you're not going to have this halacha. Nardoi, Amri, Nardoi. They went and they said even more than Rav Nachman. They said, afilu kata v'naska, even when it comes to a kata v'naska, avad naska, avad palga, avad kata, avad kule. I hold there's no difference between a kata and between a naska, meaning there's no difference between a mashkin that's lezikaron versus a mashkin that's lepirayon. Either way, the rule of thumb is, or the rule of mashkin is, that in the event that the malva returns the mashkin, he's going to be able to get his loan, but if he doesn't return the mashkin, he will not be able to get his loan. But what's the one inyan that underpins this whole chiddush that Shmuel and Rav Nachman and the Hardoi all agree with? That is, that in the event that somebody lends somebody money, he receives a mashkin in return. That mashkin, even if it's worth much less what the outstanding loan is, if the mashkin gets lost, the halach is the malva is going to forfeit the entire loan. Now, in terms of the precise application of it, that's machlokes. According to Shmuel and Rav Nachman, it's only true by a kata de magla. It's only true by a mashkin that's lezikaron ba'alma. According to Nahardoi, it's true even by a naska, even by a mashkin that's lepirayon. Additionally, what would be if there were two mashkins? Do we say that each one represents half the loan? Or do we look at them as one, and as long as the malvaki return mixas of it, this halacha wouldn't apply. We would only reduce the loan amount based on the mixas that he didn't return, or not. But in terms of the underlying principle, that's something that Shmuel, Rav Nachman, and Hardoi were all in agreement. So far, so good, right? The problem is, it's obvious, without even seeing the Gemara in a Veinig, it doesn't stem with our Mishnah. Right, Tanah, we learned in the Mishnah, Selahil Visicha, Allah Veshekhal Yeshava. If the Malva goes over to the Levi and he tells him, you know, I loaned you a Selah on this Mashkin, and the Mashkin that you gave me was worth a shekel, I lost it, I understand, but you still owe me a shekel, meaning Granted, because I lost the mashkin, so the shekel of the value of the mashkin, I'm not expecting to get in return, but the shekel that's outstanding, you won't follow Omer, and the labor responds to him, and he tells him, Loiki ela sella hil visani, ela v'shoi she dinar hil yashava, that I agree the original loan was a sell, I agree I gave you a mashkin, but it wasn't worth a shekel, it was worth 3 dinar. In other words, it might have been mixas. What's the halacha chayev? The halacha is the loy that has to swear, shmuas, might have been mixas. What's the gemara's kasho? Leimolei. Why doesn't the loy tell the malva, haka bilte, once you took my mashkin, a deal a deal. Shmuel said that the only time the malva is allowed to collect from the loiv is if the malva returns the mashkin. In our mishkin, the malva is not returning the mashkin. That's why they're fighting about what the value of the mashkin is, because we don't have the mashkin. It was lost, right? Or stolen. But he doesn't have it to return right now. So if there's a halacha that if the malva doesn't return the mashkin to the loiv doesn't owe the malva nothing. So le malay, freak the gemara. Let the leiva tell them. Ah, the hokka bilte. You and mekabel the mashkin. If you and mekabel the mashkin, you're not giving it to me. Even though we both agree that it's worth less, half or 3/4, whatever. It's for sure worth less. But who cares? At the end of the day, this is Shmuel's halacha, right? And by the way, it's not just Shmuel. Shmuel. It's Rav Nachman. It's Nahar Doi. All the grace of Paiskin, right? Shmuel, Rav Nachman, when it comes to Dini, are it. And even Nahardoi, this seems to be the Batei Dinim in Nahardoi, the Bezdin in Agadol and Bavel. So, I mean, all the great Chesha Mishpat minds, all in unison, accepted this halacha to be the truth. Chura doesn't seem to stim with our Mishnah. And for the Gemara, you have to say there's a nafkamina between the Tzir and our Mishnah versus the case that Shmuel, etc. were discussing. Masnisim with the Parsha. Mishnah is talking about where they spelled out in the terms and conditions. Meaning, with the Leiva told the Malva, he says, listen, I'm willing to give you a Leiva, but don't mashkin, but don't pull Shmuel's halacha on me, right? I was learning Masechta Shvuos, I know these sugis a little bit, so you're not gonna, right? Or I hired a good lawyer, but the bottom line is, they addressed this obvious issue in the agreement, and the understanding was, I'll give you the mashkin, but if you lose the mashkin, right, I'm not forfeiting the loan. This is the Malva talking, by the way, right? The Malva's saying, I'm not forfeiting the loan in the event that something happens to the mashkin. What will happen? We'll reduce the value of the loan. But the point is, it was with the parish. They spoke it out, bal peh. Shmuel's halacha. And Rav Nachman's halacha and Nahardoi's halacha was all bidalei parish. So bidalei parish, menastam avada, that's when you have Shmuel's halacha. If, however, you are parish, parish is parish, right? You're allowed to make any agreement you want. It's a privately negotiated transaction. Do whatever you want. Our Mishnah is talking about where these were intelligent lenders and borrowers, and there were good lawyers involved, and it was clearly stipulated that even though there's going to be a mashkin and the malva is going to have the responsibility to return the mashkin, but in the event of, we're not going to say that the whole loan is canceled. What we're going to say is that we'll reduce the loan amount based on what the value of the mashkin was. That's what the halacha would be. Hence, we have a whole taiv in it, and they're killing each other in court. What the value was, kaifrakol, maidem amiktsas, unzer amishn. Says the Gemara, lemikatano, it would seem, at first glance, maybe, that this halacha of Shmuel is totally in a machloikis tanoim. So what's this machloikis tanoim? It's a braisa in Meseches Bava Metzia, daf pei aleph on the base. By the way, if you want to really go through this daf well, so you can learn Bava Metzia, daf pei aleph, daf pei beis, that's the rest of the story. These two sugis complement each other very much. Says the Gemara, malvas chaver ala mashkin. If somebody lends money to his friend, and it was a mashkin, v'avad a mashkin, and now the mashkin got lost, right? Mamish unzer the sugyo, yishava. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Malva swears that the Mashkin actually got lost, that he wasn't Pesheya or that he doesn't have it, right? So he swears that it actually got lost and then he's able to collect his loan as if nothing happened. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva says, Yachalu Sheyoim Aloy. No, the Levi could always tell the Malva, Klum Hilvi Sane, Ela Ala Mashkin. You loaned me money, but I gave you something in return. Avad Amashkin, no. If you don't have the mashkin, avad moisecha, then you're not getting your money. So Rabbi Eliezer says that in the event that the mashkin is lost, the malva just swears that the mashkin in fact got lost and he's able to collect as if nothing happened. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you don't give me the mashkin, I'm not giving you your money. The Braisa continues and says, this is all true if the milva was not a milva b'shtar. But let's say the loan was made bishtar, and there was a mashkin. Everybody holds over the mashkin of the Mursa. Even Rabbi Eliezer is going to agree that if something happens to the mashkin, this person is going to lose his money. So really, we have here a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva regarding someone who lends his friend money, ala mashkin, and the mashkin got lost. Now what? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Malva swears v'yita ma'isav as if nothing happened. According to Rabbi Akiva, no. You don't have the mashkin, you're not getting your money. So the Gemara says, hey chidami, what was the case? Meaning we need a little bit more information. Either shavi shir zuzi, are we talking about where the value of the mashkin was equal to the value of the loan? My time with the Rabbi Eliezer, why would Rabbi Eliezer hold that this person can just go ahead and swear and be off the hook? L'chaira, if he received a mashkin that was equal to the value of the loan, and now he doesn't have the mashkin, there's no question in the world that he should not be able to collect his loan. And the reason is because if the mashkin was equal to the value of the loan, for sure the mashkin was given l'piroyim. That's for sure what the purpose of the mashkin was, right? So we mentioned twice already. There's a mashkin that's lepiroyin and there's a mashkin that's lezikar. This mashkin was for sure lepiroyin. V'har raya, the loan is $1,000 and the mashkin's worth $1,000. So there's no question, just based on the evidence, that that's what's going on. Right, when did we say it was for sure lezikarin? Where the loan was $1,000 and the mashkin was a kata de magla. But if they're equal in value, for sure we would look at it as being lepiroyin. To the extent that the Malva already got a mashkin that's the piroyin, that means he got his piroyin already. So l'chayr, if he got his piroyin and you lost your piroyin, there's no way in the world you should have a gerecht to go ahead and collect again. Azoy taina is the gemara. El alav, so if that's the case, for sure, what must be going on in this case? But the loy shav yishir zuzi. The case must be talking about where the mashkin was a kata de magla, proverbially speaking. Right, it wasn't worth the value of the mashkin. Okay, so what, of the loan. So what then is the machloik? Is it with the shmuka miflagi and the machloikis must be gufa Shmuel's halacha, meaning where somebody lends somebody money and he receives a mashkin, and the mashkin is a mashkin of lezikarein ba'alma, and now something happens to the mashkin, and the question is, does the malva forfeit the loan, or does he not forfeit the loan? Who said he forfeits the loan? Shmuel said he forfeits the loan. Whose shita would that be in Unzida Beraisa? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Yachalusha Yoy, Malay Klumul Visani Elala Mashkin, Avada Mashkin, Avdu Ma'isecha. As opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, is going to argue with Shmuel, he's going to say, I don't care. At the end of the day, there's no way in the world that this is the way this is going to play itself out, right? And as a result, the halacha is going to be that even though I lost the Mashkin, I have a right to swear, and by me swearing, I am going to be able to collect my loan. But the Gemara says lie. But the loy shavi, it could be that in the event that that was the case was where it wasn't shava, where the mashkin was not shava to the value of the loan, kuli amalesu de Shmuel. Could be nobody holds like Shmuel. Meaning, Shmuel's a chiddush. It's interesting that the Gemara would wanna be doicha by saying no one holds like Shmuel, being that Shmuel said it, Erev Nachman said it, and Ardoi said it, right? It's not just Shmuel, even though we keep on picking on Shmuel. Shmuel is just the one who introduced the halacha. The Amiraim actually doubled down on Shmuel. Right, it would feel a little more geschmack to say, Kula Amal Islu de Shmuel. Why would you say Leslu de Shmuel if Shmuel said it? Right, but the bottom line is, the Gemara says, could be Shmuel such a chiddush that really Kuli Amal Leslu de Shmuel? Maybe nobody holds like Shmuel. V'hacha b'deshav yishir zuzi. And really, in the case of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, it's talking about where they are of equal value. And because they're of equal value, that's why you could have a shitas Rabbi Akiva that holds that if you lost the mashkin, you're not getting paid. What was the kasha? The kasha was that if it's of equal value, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Why would Rabbi Eliezer hold that if the Leiva gave the Malva Mashkin that's worth mamish what the loan is worth, Yishava v'yiteles ma'oisav? What do you mean? If you got a Mashkin and the Mashkin was given to you as a source of payment, not the second, but in the event it's necessary, okay, well now it's necessary. Now the guy's not paying his loan. You had the mashkin, you lost the mashkin, that's the chayr where you're getting your payment from. So what's going on over here? Yishav al-yitel as-ma'isav, why should that be the case? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's going on here. I'll tell you Pshan Rabbi Eliezer, and really what the machloik is Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva is, but Rabbi Yitzchak komiflagi, the arguing in regards to Rabbi Yitzchak's famous halach. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Minayin lebal choyv shekoyna mashkin. How do you know that a bal choyv is koyna mashkin? So when the Leiva gives the malva the mashkin, Rabbi Yitzchak held that the malva's koyna the mashkin becomes his, mamish his. Shenema, you know, I know that because the pasuk says, ulchati yitzdaka. Right? What's the context of that pasuk? Context of the pasuk is that if somebody takes a mashkin from somebody, so the assumption is the Leiva is probably struggling right now. That's why he's borrowing money. He's giving you a mashkin. The mashkin he's giving you probably needs. So when he needs it, you're supposed to give it to him, right? But there's this idea that you're supposed to give it to him when he needs it. And the Torah says that if you're going to give it to him, we're going to view it as a very, very righteous act. Said Rabbi Yitzchak, if the Malbut doesn't physically own the Mashkin, stuck him in Eilai, why would we refer to it as a righteous act? It's not yours, you have to do it. From the fact that the Torah says it's stuck, right? What's stuck? It's stuck is if somebody takes something that belongs to him, he gives it to somebody else. That's tzedakah, right? That is the mitzvah of tzedakah. If it's not yours, or you're giving somebody something that belongs to him, then it's not l'chati yitzhak. So Rabbi Yitzchak, except from the fact that the Torah says returning a mashkin from the malbut to the loiv is l'chati yitzhak, vice versa, he owns it, and he said, mikan l'bal chayv shekayin a mashkin. From here, you see that a b'chayv is kayin a mashkin. So it says the Gemara, the loiv of the machalik is Rebbe Lezer, because he's not talking about where the value of the mashkin was worth less than the value of the law. Because in that instance, maybe nobody holds like Shmuel. It's way too big of a chiddush that if you lose the mashkin that's worth less than the loan, all of a sudden you're going to forfeit the whole loan. See, karim ba'alma, lamdasahi, Gemara says, I'm not hearing it. Okay, so what's going on over here? The case is talking about where it was of equal value, and that's Pshat Rabbi Akiva. The Malva lost his payment. You were supposed to take payment from the Mashkin in the event of. So what's Pshat Rabbi Eliezer? Says the Gemara, but the Rabbi Yitzchak Kamiflagi. What does that mean? Zok Tehilag Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer less like the Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold the Rabbi Yitzchak, implying Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. Let's explain it. Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Akiva holds that when the Levi gave the Malva the Mashkin, he now owns the Mashkin. If you own the Mashkin, you lost it. It's ala cheshbon shalcha. You lost it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Baal Chayv is not kind of the Mashkin. If the Baal Chayv is not kind of the Mashkin, so what does that mean? What's his relationship to the Mashkin? His relationship is that he's a shomer. Now, is anybody paying him? No. So he's a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is pater for Geneva Vaveda. Oh, Shemichinim is pater for Geneva Vaveda, or in the case of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva Aveda, right, that was the case, whereas Avad HaMashkin, it's for that reason that he's going to be pater. So the Olam it's talking about where the Mashkin was equal to the law, because if not, there's no Rabbi Akiva. Kuli Amaloi Pligi, that was less Ludishmo. The case is talking about where it was of equal value. What was the kasha? What's Pshan Rabbi Eliezer? I'll tell you Pshan Rabbi Eliezer. Pshan Rabbi Eliezer is that until the loan came due, I was a regular Shemichinam, and Shemichinam is bought from Aveda. Now you have to swear. Oh, isn't that what Rabbi Eliezer said? Yishavah, yitalas ma'isav, chenami. That is what he said. He said, you're going to have to swear, and once you swear, you're going to take your money. But the bottom line is that Taimo, the Rabbi Eliezer, is because he holds that he's a Shomer Chinam, and being that he's a Shomer Chinam, that says, one second. So now what's about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold he's a Shomer Chinam. Nobody's paying him. Kiva holds Baal Chayv is kind of Mashkin. He holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. So Baal Chayv is kind of Mashkin. It's his. He's Chayv in the anointing. It's Dina Azach. You lost your thing. Sorry. As a result, I don't owe you anything. Says the Gemara. I hear Geshmaka Hezber in the Machlikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. It's not Bid the Shmuel Kamiflagi. It's Bid the Rabbi Yitzchak Kamiflagi. But the Gemara says, let me the Rabbi Yitzchak Tanoi. So should we walk away from this Gemara saying that not everybody holds like Rabbi Yitzchak? Only Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Eliezer is less lewd than Rabbi Yitzchak. Is that true? But the Gemara says no. And let's even take a step backwards, says more. Vitisbara. Right? Let's go backwards. What? You just said that the Hezbollah, the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Yitzchak, Shvache Tzushtel. In fact, it's 100% incorrect. You know why? Because Eimad Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. You know when Rabbi Yitzchak said his halacha, the Baal Chayv is kind of mashkin, Shem Mishkin Oy Shalei B'Shasava. He only said it in a case where the mashkin was given Shalei B'Shasava. Rashi tells us the rest of the story. It's talking about where the loan was due and it wasn't paid. And this guy, now the Malva is suing the Loiv in court. He went to Bezdin, and Bezdin told the Malva that we're going to try to sort this out. But in the interim, Loiv give the Malva Mashkin. So the Mashkin was given by Bezdin, Shaloi B'Shas Halva, because of the fact that the Loiva wasn't, you know, keeping his end of the deal. It's then that Rabbi Yitzchak said his halach. It's the only time he said it. Aber mishkenoi b'shas halva mi amar. But did he ever say it where the mashkin was given b'shas halva? No. There's no Rabbi Yitzchak by mishken b'shas halva. It's a very poor tzushtel. Obvious tzushtel, but factually poor. Because, yeah, b'chayv kind of mashkin, but he only said it when the halva was first, and the mashkin was given later. But if the mashkin was given b'shas halva, he never said. Now, what was the case of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva going back to the Braisa? Hamalva es chaveroi al hamashkin. So there, the mashkin was the b'shas halva. So there's no sheiches to Rabbi Yitzchak's halach. The Gemara says, you're right. Elo mishkin oish le b'shas halva ase kulam adoi pligi desu with Rabbi Yitzchak. Avad sai Rabbi Eliezer, sai Rabbi Akiva, hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. And if our sugi was a case where the mashkin was given shalei b'shas halva, there would be no shayla. Everybody would agree that the Baal Chayv is kind of the mashkin. You can't just view him as a shoy merchinim. V'hocho, the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is talking talking about Mishkanoi b'shas alvaser, like the words amavas kaveri alamashkan. What is the machloikis? B'shoymer avedo kamifligi fire. You want to know what the machloikis is? They're arguing in the halachic status of a shoymer avedo. Itmar shoymer avedo as it relates to a shoymer avedo. Rab amik shoymer chinam. Rab says he's like a shoymer chinam. For Rab Yosef amik shoymer sachar dami. Rab Yosef holds that he's like a shoymer sachar. What's a shoymer avedo? Somebody found somebody's lost object and he's watching it right now. He has a chiyuv to return it, and in the interim, he's just watching it, right? That's his obligation. The question is, if something happened to this aveda, specifically gneva aveda, would the shomer aveda be responsible now? Would he not be responsible? Rabba oimer k'shomer chinam. Rabba also shomer aveda is like a shomer chinam. Shomer chinam is part of gneva aveda, will be b'shvuah. Shomer aveda is going to be the same way. Rabbi Yosef holds that a shomer aveda is like a shomer sachar. Being that it's like a shomer sachar, he's chayev b'gneva aveda. Now everyone knows the Gemara. The Gemara says Rabbi Yosef holds like you're a shomer sachar. Why are you a shomer sachar? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because this shomer aveda right now, if an arman came to him and he asked him for money, he wouldn't have to be mekayem the mitzvah of tzedakah because he's oisik mitzvah right now, and an oisik b'mitzvah, right, he's being oisik in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, is potem in a mitzvah. As a result, he is deemed as being benefiting from his shmirah. What's the benefit? The pruta that he doesn't have to give the Araman, what's famously known as in Shas as pruta de Rabbi Yosef. So because he is being nena, he's benefiting this pruta de Rabbi Yosef, so it's for that reason we view him as a shoymesach. What's a shoymesach? You're getting paid. This person is getting paid. And because he's getting paid, what's his payment? No one's writing him a check. But he's fadimin pruta de Rav Yosef. What does Rabbi hold? The Gemara says, Rabbi holds pruta de Rav Yosef lo shchiach, right? Pruta de Yosef not shchiach, and because it's not shchiach, I mean, he agrees to Isaac mitzvah patam and a mitzvah, he agrees to the concept of pruta de Rav Yosef. He happens to hold that pruta de Rav Yosef is lo shchiach. But either way, says the Gemara, you want to know what the machloik is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is. They're not arguing with the Shmuel. No one holds like Shmuel. Then I'd argue with Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. What are they arguing? They're arguing in the Machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, whether a Shomer Aveda is treated like a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Aveda is treated like a Shomer Sacha. What does it have to do with this Shaila? It's not Shomer Aveda. He's a Shomer Mashkin. Zok Rashi, it's the top Rashi on the Amid. Umalva ala Mashkin. When somebody lends somebody money, Alamashkin, which is our case, or even not Alamashkin, Nami mitzvah avad. He's also doing a mitzvah. And being that he's doing a mitzvah, when he's watching this mashkin, whether or not we view him as a shomer chinam or we view him as a shomer sachar is l'charet tali in the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. According to Rabbi, that a shomer aved is a shomer chinam, despite the fact that he's doing a mitzvah because pruta the Rabbi Yosef lo yishchiach. Well, then a mavel mashkin is also going to be viewed as a shomer chinam. According to Rabbi Yosef, that a shomer aved is considered a shomer sachar because he's having hana pruta the Rabbi Yosef. Then a mavel mashkin is also going to be viewed and treated like a shomer sachar. Why? Because at the end of the day, he's having hana of pruta de Rabbi Yosef. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer that holds hamalvas chaver ala mashkin vavad hamashkin yishav avitel es ma'osav. It's because he holds like Rabbi that a shomer aveda is a shomer chinam, and being that a shomer aveda is a shomer chinam, so to hamalva ala mashkin is also a shomer chinam. He's having hana. What's that? Nobody's paying him. So from that perspective, it's shomer chinam. No, I know that, but Komisani pruta de Rabbi Yosef, pruta Rabbi Yosef loishchiach. I mean that it's loishchiach, he's still going to be considered a shomer chinam. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, Yochalu sheyomer like klum hil visani ela la mashkin, avad amashkin, avdu moisecha, that you're achroi for the aveda. It's because he holds like Rabbi Yosef, that is a shomer sachar. I mean that is a shomer sachar. So it's for that reason he's going to be responsible. So at first glance, it would seem very geschmack, says the Gemara. You want to know what the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva is? It's the machloikis Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. But the principle of Shomer Aveda is where you're a Shomer and you're doing a mitzvah. Does that make you now a Shomer Sachar? That is the Machloikis Rabbi Rav Yosef. Here too, you're doing a mitzvah. Malval Amashkin, Nami mitzvah, it's Zokdei L'Gerashi. It's the same exact Shaila, if you understand it fundamentally. And as a result, the Chayr, the Machloikis Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva is Mamish the Machloikis. So the Gemara says, I hear, very geschmack. Abalemi the Rav Yosef Tanoi, should I then walk away from this Gemara, assuming that Rav Yosef's halacha is really taloi in a machloikis tana. Now, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, it's the second Rashi on the Amid. Rashi says like this, that's pasha to the Gemara, that Rabbah, based on the way we just explained the Machloikis Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva, is for sure Tali in the Machloikis Tana. Because Rabbah who says that a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Chino, because Prutid Rabbi Yosef Lo Shchicha, based on the way the Gemara just explained, the Machloikis Tana is for sure not like Rabbi Akiva, who said that a Malval Amashkin is Chayef for Aveda, because we treat him like a Shomer Socha. So you say Meres, Prutid Rabbi Yosef is not Lo Shchicha, or at the very least, it's enough to make you into a Shomer Socha. So that Rabbah's Halacha is the Machloikis Shnuya that the Gemara knows. The Gemara Shailas Lema de Rabbi Yosef Tanoi. Should we assume that Rav Yosef is also Machloikis Tanam? Meaning, who doesn't seem to shtim with Rav Yosef? Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer that says Yishava sounds like because he holds Prutid Rabbi Yosef Leishchicha. So it sounds like he's Rabba, right? That's the way it worked in the Lema. But should we then assume that Rav Yosef is only going to work Alibid Rabbi Akiva, it's not going to work Alibid Rabbi Eliezer? And the Gemara says, Loi. It could be the Shomer Aveda Kuli Alma Islud Rabbi Yosef. As it relates to a Shomer Aveda, maybe everybody holds like Rav Yosef. Maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would agree to Shitas Rabbi Yosef when it comes to the Sugis of Shomer Aveda. The Hoch over here, B'malva Tzorich L'mashkin Kamifli. The case over here was somebody was Malva L'mashkin and he's using the Mashkin. So the Halach is that if somebody lends somebody money and he gets a Mashkin in return, he's allowed to use the mashkin. Where does this get a little tricky? Right, where in Shas is this feature prominently? In Perikei Zeh Neshech. Because if you're using the mashkin, why is that not considered ribbis? So there was something called the mashkanta de surah, and this was something that was addressed by the Chachamim. But assuming that it is oiskehalten with all your heteriskas and stuff, there is an idea where somebody could be malva somebody, and he'd be allowed to use the mashkin. And that was the case. Okay, what's the shaila? Mar savar mitzvah ka'ovid, umar savar lav mitzvah ka'ovid. You ready for a chiddush? Mar savar, Rabbi Akiva holds mitzvah ka'ovid. At the end of the day, you're doing a mitzvah. And because you're doing a mitzvah, so you're an oisik mitzvah, who's patam in a mitzvah, you wouldn't have to give tzedakah. As a result, you're having hana, you're benefiting the tzedakah that you don't have to give, and being that you're benefiting the tzedakah that you don't have to give, we view you as a shomer socha. Rabbi Eliezer says, I agree with all that. And by a shomer aveda, 100%, I sign on to Shitas Rabbi Yosef. Stating that, this is different. You know why this is different? Because here the malv, as much as he's doing a mitzvah, he's also benefiting. Why is he benefiting? He's using the mashkin. And because he's benefiting, he's using the mashkin, Rashi's lashon is, we almost look at him as a renter. Right? It almost looks like he's not even a malva who has a loiva with a maturity date, with collateral, some sort of security agreement. That's not what it looks like. You know what it looks like? It looks like you're renting it. Now, it's a convoluted way to rent something, but it almost looks like a lease agreement, not a loan agreement. It's an under the agreement. But the point is that the way we view this is almost like a maisa schiras. But here's the point. The point is that being that you did this for some personal interest, lav mitzvah ka'avid, you don't have a din of an oisik mitzvah, and as a result, you're not going to have the halacha of oisik mitzvah, patam and mitzvah. Truth is, this is a very big chiddush, this svara. It sounds like the only time you say oisik mitzvah, patam and mitzvah is when you don't have any personal hana. But to the extent you're having personal hana, even though you're also doing a mitzvah, you're not going to be an oisik mitzvah, patam and mitzvah. Because, right, no one's going to argue that this malva lamashkin is doing a mitzvah. The question is, do we view it as a maisa mitzvah, as a maisa schir, as a maisa hana? Right, ayin rashi, it's like a geshmaka rashi with some nice lashonis. But the point is that, what do you mean? Who cares? At the end of the day, I'm an oisik mitzvah. And it isn't an oisik mitzvah, patam and mitzvah. You see from this Gemara that it's not so posh. This is a very interesting shmooze for another day. But either way, what emerged from this last piece of Gemara that you want to know what the Hezbollah, the Machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is, they're arguing in the Machloikis Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Let's just do a little bit of a recap really, really quickly. So we're going to recap the middle part of the daf, and then we're going to recap the first and the last part of the daf. So the middle part of the daf, the Gemara had brought this Machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Hamalva schaver ala mashkin, va'ovet amashkin. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer says, swear, malva, how much the mashkin was worth, v'yitel es ma'osav. Rabbi Akiva says, no. The loiv is going to tell the malva, you give me the mashkin, I pay you back. If not, now. Shailos, what is the machloikis? And in the recap, there were three mahalchim. All three are dvarim ma'im din beruma shalolim. But three mahalchim of what the machloikis might be. Bid Shmuel is one, Bid Rabbi Yitzchak is two, Bid Rabbi Yosef was number three. What was Bid Shmuel? The case is talking about where the mashkin is worth significantly less than what the loan is worth. Rabbi Akiva holds of Shmuel's halacha that anytime somebody gives somebody a mashkin, let's say, the way Shmuel said it, when it's lezikaroin ba'alma, the halacha is the terms, unless it's stated explicitly otherwise, like in our Mishnah, but The understanding is that the only time the Loiva is going to have to make payment is if the Malva is going to return the Mashkin. Rabbi Akiva holds of Shmuel, therefore he said, the Loiva can tell the Malva, you give me back the Mashkin, I'm going to pay you. If not, not. Even if it was a kata de magla, I don't care. If you don't give it back to me, I'm not going to pay you anything. Rabbi Eliezer is less late than Shmuel. And because Rabbi Eliezer is less late than Shmuel, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the halacha is that there's no such thing. So, enachinami, I'm achroi, on some level for the mashkin, but all I have to do is swear. Now, by the way, in this pshat, right, in the recap now we saw the whole Gemara, we can understand this a little bit better. What do you mean, yishav? At the end of the day, why are you yishavaying? It's because in this shlav of the Gemara, Rashi speaks it out mafurish in the beginning of the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that you're a shoy mechinam, and being that you're a shoy mechinam, so as long as you swear, you're going to be able to get off the hook. But the point is, the machloikis is not whether you're a shoy mechinam or not a shoy mechinam. The machloikis is b'de Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva holds of Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of Shmuel. Oh, by the way, Rabbi Eliezer also holds that we view this malva l'mashkin as being a shoy mechinam, and a shoy mechinam is potter from gnei v'aved al yidei shvu. You're going to swear, and like this, you're going to be potter. The second mahalach of the Gemara. The Gemara says, nah, Shmuel, nobody holds like Shmuel. Okay, what is the machloikis? The machloikis is b'der Rabbi Yitzchak HaMifliki. It's a whole different machloikis. The machloikis is Balchoyf koina mashkin or is Balchoyf not koina mashkin? Rabbi Akiva holds Balchoyf koina mashkin. And because Balchoyf koina mashkin, so it's his mashkin. If it's his mashkin, he's achroi. And the case, by the way, being that it's less with the Shmuel, is talking about where they're of equal value. So you lost the mashkin, it's yours, you're koina, you chayiv even anointing, and as a result, I don't owe you anything, right? Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, Bachayv is not kind of mashkin. Oh, Bachayv is not kind of mashkin. So it's not my. What am I? I'm a shomer. Again, I'm a shomer chinam, right? The Gemara's Rabbi Eliezer is consistently going that Rabbi Eliezer holds he's a shomer chinam. And be that he's a shomer chinam. As long as you swear, you're going to be off the hook. But the Gemara didn't like that either. Because the Gemara says, no shaykhis to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak only said his halacha when Bezdin is the one that authorized the mashkin and it came shalei b'shas hava. If, however, it was b'shas hava, there's no Rabbi Yitzchak and our sugi is clearly talking about where it was b'shas hava. So this has nothing to do with Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, so what is then going on over here? The shayla is whether or not we view this person, the malva, the one that's washing the mashkin as a shayim mechinim or as a shayim esach. What's the talking machlokes Rabbi Rabbi Yosef regarding a shayim? What's that to do with a shayim raveda? It's the same shayla. No one's paying the shayim raveda, but he's having an approved to the Rabbi Yosef. No one's paying this shayim amashkin, but he's having an approved to the Rabbi Yosef. If you hold like Rabbi Yosef, so then you're a shayim esach. That's Rabbi Akiva held. If you hold approved to Rabbi Yosef lechicha like Rabba, then you'll be off the hook or be a peshvua, which is what Rabbi Eliezer held. The Gemara just said one knach, and the Gemara said that, well, even I could tell you, maybe Rabbi Eliezer really klapi shmaya gali in the sugis of Shemir Aveda when you learn Parakakoinis and you learn Eilam Mitzias, when you learn those Gemaras, Avadi, he's going to agree to Rav Yosef that a Shemir Aveda is a Shemir Sacher. Could be here he's not a Shemir Sacher, because here he's benefiting from it. Because Halcha Mayaskina, where there wasn't just a Mashkin, you lied to use the Mashkin, we look at it as a Maisa, no, not a Maisa Mitzvah, there's no Ois Mitzvah, Batman Mitzvah, you're having a no, which again is a Chiddush that requires even for another day. But the bottom line is, these were the three Mahalchim in understanding the Machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva. They're arguing in Shmuel Zalacha, Rabbi Yitzchak Zalacha, or Rabbi Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, why do we mention this machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, right? What was the reason we even brought this up? You have to follow the paper trail here. It's a little tricky, right? Why did we even mention it? Because the daf started with Shmuel's halacha. Hay man da isve alfa zuzi lechavre umashkin lekata de magla ovat kata de magla ovat alfa zuzi. Very, very big chiddush. Rav Nachman doubled down. Ardoi doubled down on the doubling down of Rav Nachman. But the bottom line is that that was the ikra halacha Shmuel. And the Gemara brought the machloikis from Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, because the Gemara thought that maybe the machloikis from Rabbi Akiva is b'de Shmuel, right? That was the first attempt, version 1.0, in what the hezber, the machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva was, this exact halacha. The Gemara knocked it out, right? Shanemo. The Maskana, they're arguing in the Machloikis, Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Or could be they both hold like Rav Yosef, but they're arguing in the nuance of where I'm having Ana, am I still considered an Yosef mitzvah, Patam and a mitzvah or not? Or do I view this Malva doing a mitzvah? Do I view him as doing a Maiz Shalana? So really, the initial attempt of maybe Shmuel is a Machloikis Tanom, which Machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva fell short. So the Gemara now is going to take a 2.0, take another crack at trying to find a Machloikis Tanoim that will line up in it being really Shmuel's halacha. Says the Gemara, Lemit Ketanoi, maybe it's the following, Machloik is Tanoi, Malbus Kaveh Ala Mashkin, if somebody lends money to his friend, and in return he received a Mashkin, V'nichnis O Shmito, and now Shmito came. So what's the halacha? We know Shmita is Meshamit loans. However, Shmita is not Meshamit a loan that has a Mashkin. That's one of the halachas. The lumdus of it is that on Shmita the Torah says, Lo Yigois. Matun is munin, right? In Yiddish. You're not allowed to be goyver, right? That's the halacha. You're not allowed to go ahead and collect. When you have a mashkin, we look at it as if it's already govoy, right? That's the lumdus of a prosbo, maybe, right? Machlekes rishayim in the beginning of Masechtas Makis, tafkim alamid beis. But the point is that a mashkin is considered as if the Tvi already happened, and as a result, there's no problem of lo yigos. So again, what's this case? Even if the mashkin only equals half of the loan, in a meshamet halach is, oh, it's a loan with a mashkin? There's no shmita. Divrei Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Azoy halt Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, "Im ha'yemeshkeni kineged chayvoy in a meshamet." No, if the mashkin is kineged the entire chayv, then I agree with you. It's not going to be meshamet. Vim lav. And if not meshamet, it's going to be meshamet. So we have a machloikis, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that if someone's malvas chaver ala mashkin, even if the mashkin is only equal to half the loan, einoy meshamet. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, no. Im hoye mashkoine kineged choyvoy. If it's equal, it's not meshamet. The im lav, but if not, meshamet, it's going to be meshamet. So the Gemara says, my einoy meshamet to Tanakama, or the Kama Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? It's interesting, we're referring to the Tanakama as the Tanakama when he has a name in our Gemara, right? It's Rav Shimon Gamliel. But the Gemara says, what did Rav Shimon Gamliel mean when he said that if the mashkin is only equal to half the loan, the halach is that it's not going to be meshamet? Ilema kinegdoi. Did he mean to say that that chelik that is corresponding to the mashkin is not going to be meshamet? That's all he meant. Meaning, all he meant to say was that if somebody lends somebody money and there's a mashkin on half, that half is considered a milvah la mashkin when we know shmita is not meshamet. Well, mechal Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi sabe kenegdoi nami meshamet, right? You're going to tell me then, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi shita is that even that half is going to be meshamet, right? It can't be. Ela my toughest mashkin, says the Gemara. Why does he have a mashkin? Now, those words are a little bit interesting. Why does he have a mashkin? I don't know. Maybe he has a mashkin for another reason. Who said the reason he has a mashkin is related to the laws of Shvius? But in your name, which is very simple. If he has a mashkin on half, for sure that half is not going to be subject to the laws of Shemitah. So you can't say that when the Tanakhama said, Eina Meshamet, he means the chelik that does have a mashkin, because that would mean Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who said Meshamet means even the chelik that has a mashkin. The din is, if someone lends somebody money ala mashkin, there's no Shemitah. Elolav, you have to say Keneget Guloi. What do you then have to say? What you have to say is that it's kineged kula. That when the Tanakhama said Eina Meshamet, what he meant to say was that as long as you have a mashkin, even if the mashkin is only on a chelik of the loan, meaning it's not shava legamri, the halacha is the entire loan now is not going to be meshamet. Okay. Right? That must be the case. And what does Rabbi Yehuda Nasi argue? He says, no, I agree the chelik that's represented by the mashkin, that chelik, yeah, that's a mavala mashkin. But the other half is not represented by the mashkin because the mashkin's not going to get you the other half. Right? It's Pashit, says the Gemara, that the machlokes of Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is with regards to the half of the loan that's not represented by a mashkin. But says the Gemara, what is the machlokes over here? Right? What's going on here? What would be the machlokes? What would be the shayla if somebody lends somebody $1,000 and he has a mashkin that's worth $500? And now Shemitah comes. According to the Tanakhama, you can collect the entire $1,000. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, no, only the $500. Working with the principle that a mavala mashkin, there's no problem of Shemitah being Meshamet. The question is it only the chelik that it represents, or is it even the other chelik? At first glance, we understand Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The part that's backed by a mashkin, that part is a mavala mashkin. The other part not. What would be Pash Pashan Tanakam? Says the Gemara, you know what the machlokes must be, but the Shmuel Kamifligi. The machlokes must be Shmuel. The Tanakam, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, must hold like Shmuel. He must hold of this Groysa Chiddush And that is, that there's an idea that if somebody gives a mashkin, let's say lezikaron ba'alma, right? But if somebody gives a mashkin, that means the entire loan is backed by the mashkin. Ad kidei kach, if you don't return the mashkin, you're not going to collect any chelik of the loan. That means even though the value of the mashkin is only commiserate to a chelik of the loan, but we view the whole loan as a ma'aval mashkin based on Shmuel's halach. And Yehuda Nasi says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hold like Shmuel. And as a result, this halach is not going to be true. It says the Gemara, this machlokes Shem Gamliel and Rabbi Danasi, which at first glance is a very hard machlokes to understand, right? Shouldn't we say that that's what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, lie. This is all true if we assume that when Rabbi Shem Gamliel said that Amalval Amashkin, where it's not worth the entire value of the loan, that the halach is in a meshamet, it means the entire loan is not meshamet. The entire loan is not meshamet. Half the loan that's not backed by a mashkin, why is that not meshamet? Oh, must be because he was like Shmuel. That there's an idea that even though the mashkin is worth much less than the value of the loan, but the entire loan is viewed as being backed by the mashkin. But the Gemara says that's not really pshat Rav Shimon Gamliel. La'olam kinegdai. What do you mean kinegdai? La'olam, where Rav Shimon Gamliel said that Shvius is not meshamet, what he meant to say was, even the chelik that's kinegdai, right? Even the chelik that for sure is backed by mashkin. Meaning, Pshat Shem Gamliel is not that he holds like Shmuel. Not that he holds that the entire loan is in a mashamet. The chelik of the loan that's not backed by a mashkin is no shaychis. That chelik is not backed by a mashkin. And when he said that it's in a mashamet, what he meant to say was, it's the chelik shekinekdeh. What was the problem? The problem was, how are you going to understand Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? Because that means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds that even the chelik that's backed by the mashkin, even that is going to be mashamet. The part that's backed by a mashkin, that's a regular ma'aval mashkin. Why should that be mashamet? How come this is the machlek? It's Tanakam, the snover, the Tanakam again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, kinekdeh. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Sovar, Kenegdoi Nami Mishtamet. No, even the Kenegdoi is Mishtamet. Again, Falcon Miflegate, the words are a little bit Megumgim. But the point is that the whole Shaila was connected. The Tanakhama holds Kenegdoi, the Halachas is not Mishamet. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Sovar, Kenegdoi is Nami Mishamet. Udika Amrit, what was the Kasha? How could Rabbi Yehuda Nasi hold that even Kenegdoi is Mishamet? Right, what was the Kasha? Lemai Tophis Le Mashkin. And what's this Mashkin all about? The Teretz is Zichrein Varm Ba'alma. He has this mashkin Lezichrein Varm Ba'alma, and being that he has a Lezichrein Varm Ba'alma, it's for that reason that the halacha is that it's going to be Mishamet. In other words, this is really coming full circle. We said that there's two types of mashkins. There's a mashkin where it's the Piroyan, and there's a mashkin where it's Lezikaron. The Tanakhama holds that when the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds that when the mashkin is Lepiroyan, that's when you have the halacha that Shmita is not Mishamet that mashkin. How that won't. If, however, the mashkin is only Lezikaron, then Shmita will be Mishamet. Being that the mashkin was not equal to the entire value of the loan, it comes out that all it was Lezikaron, right? This is something that we repeated a few times in the course of the daf. All it was Lezikaron. If all it was Lezikaron, it was never meant for Piroyon. If it was never meant for Piroyon, Shmita is going to be Meshamet. Now what's the lumnus? Because we said, why is it that Shvius is not Meshamet alone that has a mashkin? Because it's not Lo'yigois. Lo'yigois means don't go ahead and collect on it. What do you mean? It's already collected. That's true where the mashkin is a piroyan. Then it's collected. The kata de magla? Wow, that's what was collected? There's no shaykhis. All that was a zikarin. As that sort mashkin is not such a thing. The point is, the machloik is Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Yehuda Nasi, where the mashkin is only equal to a chelik of the loan, whether it's mishamet or not mishamet, is actually discussing the chelik that it's equal to. We assume, for sure, the chelik that it's equal to is not going to be mishamet. So what's the argument? The chelik that it's not equal to. What would be the havamina that it should not be mishamet, the chelik that it's not equal to? Oh, it'd be shita shmul. That a little bit of a mashkin can have ramifications on a big loan. But they were saying, no, loylam, nobody holds like shmul. And really, the shaila is with regards to the little bit of a chelik that it is backing. If that's the case, what then is the machlokes over here? Meaning, what would be the tzad that it should be mishamet? Your regular ma'aval mashkin. Oh, the teretz is all gufa. Because being that it's only a little bit of a mashkin on a bigger loan, we view the mashkin as being a zikaron ba'alma. And if it's a zikaron ba'alma, it doesn't give me what I need to make it a malvala mashkin for it to be able to bypass the laws of shvius. The reason to bypass the laws of shvius is because it says you're not being over lo yigois. But if all it is lizikarim ba'almo, then really you are being over lo yigois. Either way, this concludes today's daf. This concludes the perek. Hadron aloch shvus hadiyot. Again, what happened in today's daf? It was all about a mashkin. It was a huge digression, not from hard sugyas. It wasn't a digression from hard daf, but it was a digression from the ikr sugyas that we're learning, and those are the sugyas of shvus. And specifically, Shmuel's Maidim and Mixas. And really, if you think about it, there were two things that were straddled. The first one was Shmuel's big halacha. What was Shmuel's halacha? Hayman da oisve alfa zusa lechavre. Umashkin le kata de magla. Ovat kata de magla. Ovat alfa zusi. Right? This was the chiddush of Shmuel. That if somebody gives somebody a mashkin, that's lizi karim ba'almo. If he loses the mashkin, the halacha is he cannot collect any payment from the loifa. It's a massive chiddush. At first glance, it seems to be blatantly contradicted from our Mishnah. Gemara worked that out. And the Gemara attempted, that was one of the two avoidas of the Da, to try to see, is this halach of Shmuel really machloikis tanom? What were the two machloikis tanoms that we thought it might be? Number one, the machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, hamalvas chaver ala mashkin, va'avad ha-mashkin, yishav avitas, moistir Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, the loiva is going to tell them, you give back the mashkin, otherwise I'm not giving you back the loan. The Gemara said, maybe this is the case. The machloikis is where the mashkin is worth less than the loan, and this is what's going on over here. You hold like Shmuel or you don't hold like Shmuel. The Gemara knocked that out. Alternatively, the Gemara said that maybe the machloikis between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yehuda Anasi, if somebody lends somebody money ala mashkin, and the mashkin is not equal to the value of the loan, and then Shemitah comes, so is it Meshamet or not Meshamet? The Gemara thought that maybe the Shaila is talking about whether the chelik that's not backed by the loan, that's the machloikis. Is that Meshamet or not Meshamet? What would that be talking? Does the little bit of mashkin have ramifications on the entirety of the loan? The sad to say, yeah, it would be Shmuel, and if that's what the machloikis is, so you see with the Shmuel kamiflagi, that was one chelik of the daf, right? The Gemara was like that too, by the way. But again, shleimim with the Shmuel kamiflagi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The second chelik was as it relates to that machloikis gufa between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. What exactly is the machloikis? The Gemara had three attempts. Number one, maybe they're arguing with the Shmuel. Number two, maybe they're arguing with Rabbi Yitzchak b'chayv kainam mashke b'chayv enu kainam mashke. Number three, maybe they're arguing b'rabba v'rabbi Yosef, which was the final analysis. And by the way, the Gemara just clarified one thing, that according to Rabba, for sure the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi and Rav Yosef. According to Rav Yosef, it's not muchach that the machloik is Rabbi Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef could say that I hold that they both hold like me by Shem Rav Eda. They're arguing dafka by Malvala Mashkin, where the case is a little bit unique, as much as no one's paying him and as much as all this is a mitzvah, but at the same time the person is having hana, and maybe when you're having hana, we don't invoke the regular halacha of Oisik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah.